loosed on the earth to do God's will. Well, all right then. Go ahead and sit down with your bad self. Yesterday I had to crawl out of bed at 5 a.m. and headed down to Houston to be there for the homegoing services for Ken and Jennifer and Holly and Brian, for the sister's father who passed unexpectedly. And since I was in Houston, I had to go by Jimmy G's and get some seafood, Cajun style. But lift Jennifer and Holly before the Lord and speak God's eternal grace upon them. They are not here today as they're trying to tie up the business affairs that occur when a member passes, especially a patriarch of the family. I was singing this morning, I sure am glad that I didn't have a heap of brothers and sisters. When John Wesley was born, his mother had 19 children. You go bankrupt just on birthday and Christmas cards. No, we always have more than enough. A couple of praise reports. This is from Natasha. I recently took a mock star test, and when I got my grade back, it was really low. But the next day, my teacher had said the grading system had messed up, and my grade was actually a 92. It was over the commended rate. God is so good to me, and I'm so glad I have His blessings. You don't have to take the report they give you. Just pray and the report will change. Yes. This one's by Alicia Stevens. I've been wanting to go visit Paris, and God opened a door for me to visit Wales, Ireland, England, London, and Paris in July. Hallelujah. I'm so grateful to God for His promises and blessings. Makes me rich and adds no sorrow. Amen. And this one is from your favorite Aggie. Last week I had a meeting with one of the owners of the company because I needed him to sign some paperwork before I submitted it to the state environmental agency. After our meeting, I asked if I could pray for him. I did that a couple of months ago concerning a health issue the doctors had told him about. His response was, "Please do." So I prayed for him right there, spoke the word concerning his situation. His response was, "Wow, you're wonderful. I didn't say this, but I remember my thought was, I'm just letting my light shine and bringing the kingdom of God to my sphere of influence like we've been talking about Wednesdays and Sunday assemblies. Let your light so shine before men that those men may see your good works and glorify your Father, because they can know by the way you let your light shine that it is not you that's originating the light, but you are but a reflection of the light of your Redeemer. Amen. The men of valor are putting notes in your hands today. And I want to share some mind-probing thoughts with you today. As frightening as it is, when you get up in the morning, you look into a mirror. And when you look into that mirror, what does the mirror tell you? Do you ever think about what the mirror tells you Now, of course, we're referring to James chapter 1, verse 22 and 23. But when you look in that mirror, it tells you, oh, you missed a place shaving. Oh, your hair isn't just right. Oh, you've got a smudge. And you adjust yourself based on what you see. So the mirror becomes your guide to adjust your appearance so that it appears comely to you. Or at least not horrifying. I remember getting out of the hospital after I'd gone from 265 pounds down to 165 pounds, and I stood in front of the mirror, and I looked in the mirror, and it frightened me. Who was this skinny old scarecrow staring back at me? I didn't realize how much I had deteriorated. But God said, I want you to come to the mirror of the Word. And you look in the mirror and it says, you're healed. So you adjust yourself. It says, you're blessed. And so you adjust yourself to conform to what the mirror says. It says you can do all things through the anointing. And so as you look into the mirror of the Word, it gives you the direction you need to adjust your life to conform to the image you want to project. I won't say every person, but nearly every person in this room started their day today with a natural mirror, adjusting their natural self so they could put their best face forward. How often do we look into the mirror of the Word and adjust our attitude, adjust our horizon, adjust our view, adjust our thinking, adjust our way of believing to where we confirm or conform to the Word of God? Do you see this as the image projection God wants you to have? Does it ever occur to you to go to the Word of God and see if I'm projecting healed, blessed, redeemed, full of faith, expecting God's goodness? I learned a long time ago that for many Christians, I can pick up their Bible and tell you their attitude about God. Because as I thumb through their Bible, I'll see what verses they've highlighted, underlined, and put a stickum on. And that'll tell me where they're at. And if they're all the judgment of God, I don't want to be around that person. If they're condemning scriptures and scriptures that bring condemnation, you don't want to hang out with them. But when I open someone's Bible, I see they've highlighted all the promises, all of the things that belong to them, all of the things that God said they could do and have and be. I want to be around that person because I know what their mirror is telling them. What is the mirror telling you about the appearance you're presenting? We could stop right there and you have had a message today. I will try and be conscious of sticking to the point today. I was saying to a couple of the brothers, it was at the funeral yesterday. Holly and Jennifer's father's funeral got hijacked. And I don't know where that train was going, but it had so many cars on it. I'm sitting there and I'm listening to a guy preach a sermon against homosexuality again in the middle of a homegoing celebration. And I told Damon, I think it was, I said, if he'd have just got on the Cowboys, he would have covered every subject that's... How you can start with the homegoing of a saint of God and end up, I don't know where, I don't think he ever ended. I think he just ran out of breath and quit. And after it was over, I'm still shaking my head. Can y'all remember what he said? Except for the tirade on homosexuality, I've forgotten nearly everything he said. Huh? We will be taking our main reading today from Hebrews chapter 5. And as I was preparing the message for today, I started in the King James. And then I was led to the New American Standard for some of the scriptures. And when I got to the Hebrews chapter 5, the Lord said, read in the New Living. And as you know, I am not the world's greatest proponent of the Living Bible. The New Living is much better than the Living. The Living I couldn't stand at all. The New Living, I have found that there is some good things in there, and apparently God thinks there's some good things in there because he told me to read it there. But carrying on the subject of the mirror and how you see yourself. If you see yourself as saved, you don't see yourself as much. Oh, I forgot to mention, those of you who might want to drop by and say hi, Todd is not here today because he was hit by a car on his bicycle, and he's in room 852 at Brackenridge Hospital. Brackenridge Hospital, room 852, if you want to drop by and say hi. He had to have knee surgery, and the car crushed his knee and had to have reconstructive surgery. Our Lord and Redeemer came to earth, was clothed with flesh, and lived as a man to show us a better way of life. What the Lord said to me was, he became the mirror that you're to look in, because he was the Word walking. He was the Word talking, and you can look into this mirror, or you can look into the mirror of the Lord Jesus Christ, and either mirror will exactly depict how you should live. Who, being in the very nature God, did not think of it as robbery to be equal with God. Now, taking that from one translation can leave you with one opinion about how he thought about himself, but the Berean translation says, who existing in the very form of God did not consider equality with God something to cling to be grasped at, to be used to his own advantage. I don't have to grasp at being Jim Lillard. I am Jim Lillard. I don't have to grasp at being a child of the Most High God. I am a child of the Most High God. I don't have to grasp at knowing that I have the anointing of the Spirit of life in the anointed Redeemer living in me. That's just placement. I was placed in the earth into the family I was birthed into, and that is the way I will leave this earth, with that brand. But I had the choice of accepting a new branding. And the new branding said, redeemed, born again, child of the Most High God, heir and joint heir with the anointed Redeemer. A kingdom influence set in the earth to display kingdom superiority. We're to live above fear, above doubt, above unbelief, above sickness, above sin and its tenets. The anointed Redeemer was very man, yet very God. Well, Pastor, that was him. No, that's you. He was the firstborn of many brethren. When you were born again, you became very God and very man. Very God because he lives in you. Very man because you live in the earth. This is my earth suit. I have to have this earth suit to live in this atmosphere. But inside this earth suit is a heavenly being. Not because I'm saved, but because I'm born again. Saved gave me the ability to escape hell. Being born again gave me a new mindset to live on life on a different level than I did before I came to God. The problem is, most people come to God, they get saved, but they never get born again, so they still have stinking thinking, and they are still carrying around the weight of the world because they have not yet accepted their deliverance from the weight of the world. How do you get free from the weight of the world? You have to recognize who you are. We're back to the mirror again, or the mirror. I have to recognize who I am, or I won't be that. For it was fitting for us to have such a high priest, holy, innocent, undefiled, separated from sinners, and exalted above the heavens, who does not need daily, like those high priests, to offer up sacrifice first for his own sins and then for the sins of the people, because he did once for all when he offered up himself. Do you see the death, burial, and resurrection of your Lord as the end of Satan's right to dominate your life, intimidate your life, lean on you, pressure you, disrespect you, reject you? We miss so much in communion because we do not look at it as the end all to all that we were before the cross. We do not see ourselves raised up triumphant with the anointed Redeemer. We still see ourselves in the glass darkly, and we wonder who we really are. But I'm telling you, who you are is who he was. Because who he is, so are you in the earth. If I correctly look at the mirror of the Word, I see myself in his clothes. Well, Pastor, that's sacrilege. No. It says in the Word, this mirror says, be clothed with Christ as a new garment. As a born-again child of God, you have a right to wear heavenly apparel. Because that's what he's wearing. Does that not excite you? I can put on my holy robe and be the Son of God. He was a king, a savior, a lord, a priest, a brother, a redeemer, anointed of God, to show us the way kingdom life works. But he was the Son of God. If you look in the mirror, so are you. That's why Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through the anointing which infuses me with divine ability. What does it mean to do all things through the anointing? I'm not doing it in my flesh. I'm not doing it in my ego. I'm not doing it in my self-aggrandizement. I am doing it as unto Him, for His glory and for His will to be done in the earth. Amen. What's the difference between a person who can heal the sick and one who can't?
What they know and what they'll do.
How they see themselves. Do you know who you are in the anointed Redeemer? Do you know that you have been empowered by God Almighty to lay hands on the sick and they will recover? If there is a doubt about it, it won't work. I remember as a young man in Corpus Christi, Texas, my father pastored the Pentecostal Holiness Church on Headley Street across from Memorial Hospital. And down the street from that was Corpus Christi Tabernacle with Brother Saul Strand. Then out Padre Allen Avenue was Brother Nash, who was the Assembly of God pastor. Just across the town was Junior Hurst, who was Pentecostal Church of God. But on the side of Corpus Christi, there was another Assembly of God church, and the pastor's name was A. Allen. And a lot of us went to see Oral Roberts. And Oral was lifting people out of wheelchairs and laying hands on people, and miracles and signs and wonders were occurring. And A.A. said, I can do that. And he went back, resigned his church, bought a tent, and went out and did it. None of the other pastors who went to the Oral Roberts meeting saw themselves. Now, A had a lot of problems. He liked blondes and he liked booze. But he knew who he was in God and could get more people healed drunk than you can sober until you know who you are. Because when he knew who he was, he knew who he was wasn't of himself, it was of God. If you look in the mirror of the Word, you too can say, I can do that. I can have that. I can be that. Just like when you got up this morning and you looked in the mirror and you went, oh, God. And then after a little touch-up here and there and a little quaffing and coiffuring, a little house paint, you looked in the mirror and said, well, Lordy me. Looking good. People are going to be glad to see me. God wanted you to have a mirror in word, but He wanted you to have a mirror in reflection. And so He sent His Son to live a life above the average so you would know it was possible to live a life above the average. Are you tired of being average or less? One of the praise reports lets you know that somebody found out that I don't have to accept the result of a test. Because my God will change times and seasons and laws for me. And if I didn't get the score I thought I should have, I can pray and the score will change. Every high priest is a man. Wait a minute, stop. Every high priest is what?
A man.
But they're the high priest. They're a man. The office they're in qualifies them. They don't qualify the office. He doesn't say every high priest is selected because they're high priests. He said they're a man. And they're born into a position. And if they develop that position, then they become that position. What would happen to a high priest who never read the Gospels? Or the high priest would only read the Old Testament. They'd read the Synoptics, they'd read the first five of the Pentateuch. They would study the kings and priests. What would a high priest be if he never wore his high priestly garment? A man. If he never studied to show himself approved, what would he be? You see, it's the birth plus the development on that birth. So it is with you today. Was getting saved enough for you? Or do you want to build on getting saved so that you become born again? Because you're not born again until your mind is renewed to think on a level above the norm. I am not human. I am not just a man. I am a child of the Most High God, an heir and joint heir with the anointed Redeemer. I am filled with God's presence, up to and capable for anything God wants to do through me. Every high priest is a man, chosen to represent other people in their dealings with God. He presents their gifts to God and offers sacrifices for their sins. He becomes their intermediary. And he is able to deal gently with ignorant and wayward people because he himself is subject to the same weaknesses. It didn't say he is wayward and ignorant. It just says he's subject to it if he would cave into it. But if he keeps looking in the mirror, he's above it. It's when he looks away from the mirror. That is why we must offer sacrifices for his own sins as well as theirs. And no one can become a high priest simply because he wants such an honor. He must be called by God for this work, just as Aaron was. In my life, I've watched a whole lot of self-called pastors, evangelists, apostles, prophets, and they all crash and burn because self can only carry them so far. But I've also watched a whole lot of self-called saints who didn't look in the mirror of the Word. They looked into their own piety. And tried to build upon their own works and accomplishments. A born-again person gives all the credit to God. A poser will identify all the works they have done to justify who they are. I am who I am by the grace of God, not because of how many people have been saved, healed, delivered, and set free in my life. That is why Christ did not honor himself by assuming he could become high priest. No, he was chosen by God, who said to him, "You are my son. Today I have become your father." And in another passage, God said to him, "You are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek." While Jesus was here on earth, he offered prayers and pleadings with a loud cry and tears to the one who could rescue him from death. And God heard his prayers because of his deep reverence for God. Even though Jesus was God's son, he learned obedience from or through the things he suffered. If you look at your life, Jerry, there's things you didn't want to go through. Demetrius, there's times you'd just as soon forget in your life. But they developed your character. They've developed your nature. I didn't like spending 7 months and 11 days flat on my back. But I learned to trust God when there was nothing that gave me reason to trust in the natural realm. When the doctors tell you, you got a 10% chance of living, you got a 20% chance of making it through this operation, and you can lay back and go, "Daddy, thank you. I like your odds better than theirs. You said I will live and not die, and I will decree the glories of God." So that sounds like 100% to me. 10%, 20%, that don't sound very good. When the doctor says to you, "All of my colleagues have told me, don't do the surgery. If I don't do the surgery, you're going to die for certain. If I do the surgery, there's a 20% chance you'll live. What do you want to do?" Let's see. "Don't do the surgery, I'm dead. Do the surgery, and there's a 90% chance I'm dead. Got that little 10% in there. I can't look at that. I'm going to look back over here where he said I would live and not die and decree the glories of God." Looking into the mirror of this word gives me strength to go, "Go for it, Doc." "You're sure?" "Yeah. Go for it. I don't need more than 10 or 20% in the natural realm because I got 100% in the spiritual realm." I learned to lean on Jesus. "Your kidneys have quit working. You're in renal failure. He said I would live and not die. Your lungs are malfunctioning. You've got lung failure. He said I would live and not die. Your liver quit working. We've got to do something. I am doing something. I'm believing he said I'll live and not die." And when you come through liver failure, kidney failure, lung failure, heart failure, then pretty soon you realize all I've got to do is trust and obey because truly there ain't no other way. There's death and there's life. I choose life. How often do you look in the mirror of the Word and see you healed? See you victorious? See you prosperous? Oh, I'm excited about what's going on right now in the financial community and the great wealth that'll come to so many of you. But I'm not excited because the news is saying it. I'm excited because God said it long before the news. Our Lord was a man of God. He was a man for God, and he was a man to God on our behalf to show us that there are three dimensions of our life and walk with God. We're of God, that's born again. We're for God because we're equipped with His Word. And we are to God because we go out and we perform that Word before others. Of God, redeemed. For God, I've studied Thy Word. Thy Word have I hid in my heart. Then when a situation comes up, I'll know what the Word says, not I'll have to be ashamed because I don't know what's going on. And to God, because I will lay hands on the sick. I will cast out devils. I will speak with new tongues. I will decree the glories of Him who called me out of darkness. He came to initiate a new species of being to populate and rule the earth. Kingdom sons, kingdom heirs and joint heirs, a kingdom people. Well, Pastor Jim, I'm born again. It's more than that if you get into the mirror of the Word. I'm not just born again, I'm raised up to His fullness. The Lord compares your relationship with God to infancy, childhood, birthing, all that for a reason. What happens to a child who is birthed but never fed? In the spiritual realm, what happens to a person who gets saved but they don't feed on the Word of truth? They don't study to show themselves approved. They don't look into the mirror of the Word to find out who they really are. We have a word for that. It's called nominal churchgoer. They're in church because of an experience they had 50 years ago, and not because of a new reality that's growing within them daily. If there was a time in your life where you were more on fire for God, more committed and more dedicated than you are now, what's wrong? You've quit eating. You've quit growing. You quit reflecting on who you are in the anointed Redeemer. Therefore, if anyone is in the anointed Redeemer, he is a new creature. If you're born again, you're a new creature. The old things have passed away, and new things have come. But if you have not looked into the mirror of the Word, you don't recognize them when they come. You see them as an opposition, not an opportunity. You see them as a trial, not a chance to prove your faith. You see them as a deterrent to your growth, not as the way you grow by conquering. He learned obedience by the things He suffered. One translation says, the things He allowed. He learned he could trust God with stripes, with beatings, with crucifixion, with death, with separation from God, because through it all, the Holy Spirit lifted him up. One of the great revelations of my walk with God was the day I realized Jesus did not raise Himself from the dead. Had nothing to do with the resurrection, only the faith that it would happen. He had to trust the Holy Spirit to do in him, through him, and for him what he could not do for himself. Even as the Son of God. And by looking into that mirror, I learned I don't have to do it. I simply trust the same Holy Spirit to do through me what he did through him. Jesus replied, "Verily, verily, or truly, truly, I tell you, no one can see with understanding and comprehension the kingdom of God unless they are born again." Because born again is not just redeemed from your sins, it's renewed in your new identity of who you are. Who God is, and what the two of you can do together. You can't see the kingdom of God with understanding by just being saved. You've got to be born again. The word has got to be engrafted to you so that when you look at it, how many of you have ever gotten up in the dark of night and went to the restroom? I'm talking about the dark of night. You can't see much in the mirror, can you? You got to turn the light on. And that's the difference between being saved and being born again. Being saved is like looking at the mirror in the dark. You can't make things out. Because a new mindset hasn't been developed in you. But with the lights on, you can see exactly how good you look. Saved, I'm redeemed, set free from sin. Born again, I've developed a new mindset by looking in the mirror of the Word. I have a new life. I have a new goal. I have a new reason for being. I don't just add it to my life. My life is totally transformed by it. A saved person adds Jesus to their life. A born-again person surrenders their life to the anointed Redeemer. Because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. Your water baptism is so important. Not that you got dunked by a preacher, but that you fully understood that I am joining him in his death, his burial, and I'm coming out of the water, joining him in his resurrection, and my baptism is a testimony to the saints and to the powers of darkness that I am one with the anointed Redeemer. I have joined him in his triumph, and I've accepted his victory as my victory. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. How personal is your identity in the anointed Redeemer? Yeah, that's what that line is there for. How personal is your identity in the anointed Redeemer? Is it a fleeting thing? A nebulous thing, it's out there, but you can't quite reach it? Or have you fully embraced that as he is, so am I in the earth? Because the same thing that quickened and empowered him lives in me, the Holy Spirit of truth. But I've got to give that Holy Spirit a lot of truth to work on in my life. I've got to be looking in this mirror all the time to know who I am, what I have and what I can do. Last page. And that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Did you know that there's a spirit of your mind? The Word of God talks about the natural mind, the carne, the meatheads. Carnal-minded. That's before the new birth. After the new birth, you should have a spiritual mindset. What does that mean, Pastor? Well, I have input from the five physical senses that affect my mind, but now I also have input from the Spirit, which transcends the normal thought process. Because what my senses can't touch, my spirit can. Developing a spiritual mindset comes with renewing by reading and meditating the new covenant. And put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness and truth. Put on the new self. How can I put on the new self if I don't have the mirror in front of me to see what the new self looks like? You ever go to someone's house and they've got a light 7 foot back behind you and you're trying to look in the mirror and there's not enough illumination? Have you had that experience? That's the way your spirit man is when you first start looking into the mirror of the Word. But as the light comes closer, the image becomes clearer. And you put on the new self. I used to wear doubt. Now I wear hope. I used to wear weary. Now I wear praise. Renewed. Brainwashed. I've taken fresh input. I have insight from a new thought pattern that is of God, not of the senses. I don't see me according to what I know about me. I see me according to what He said about me. The first time I stepped to a pulpit and invited people to come forward for the laying on of hands, there were voices inside me saying, "You can't do this." But I had to hear another voice that was saying, "I can do this through you." And so I could say, "Daddy, I'm going to lay the hands. You do the work." The point of being a new creation is the ability to live life on a new level. Saved people live their life the way they did before. It's just now they have a hope of going to heaven and not going to hell. Born again people approach every situation with a new mindset that nothing is impossible for them that believe. The new creation has a new mindset and sees life through God said rather than through human eyes. Can a mere human, saved or not, see themselves living life on the God level, doing deeds on the God level, embracing the miraculous as a normal way of life? No. You've got to recognize that you are an heir and joint heir. You are a son of God because you can't embrace this life with that mindset. John chapter 8, verse 32 says, you shall come to know the truth in intimate personal revelation. And the truth you know in intimate personal relationship will liberate you in that area which you now know. I'm liberated from I can't, because the mirror said I can do all things. I'm liberated from fear because it said he's not given me a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. As he is, so are you. How do you see the Lord will determine how you can see you. The prophet said, I see him high and lifted up, and his train is filling the temple. And while all around him was millions of Jews who couldn't see or hear or believe, the way he saw the Lord allowed him to step forth and boldly speak for God, because he had seen God high and lifted up and seen his train fill the temple. And he was caught up in that train. How do you see your Lord today? Triumphant, victorious, having faced every human peril and woe and toil and overcoming it, and now living in you, empowering you to overcome the same temptations, tests, and trials of life? Do you see him high and lifted up, seated at the right hand of God in victory? Or do you still see him on a cross, suffering? Get past the babe in the manger. Get past a suffering Savior. And begin to embrace a ruling Lord. A King, high and lifted up, elevated and saying, come up higher. Come sit with me. Let us reason together as we look into the mirror together and discover who we are. I waited quietly before God, for my victory comes from him. He alone is my rock, my salvation, my fortress, where I will never be shaken. Let all that I am wait quietly before God, for my hope is in him. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress where I will not be shaken. My victory and honor come from God alone, my refuge, a rock where no enemy can reach me. Oh, my people, trust in him at all times. Pour out your heart to him, for God is your refuge. Look into the mirror of the new covenant and find out what you really look like, who you really are, what you really can do. Fall in love with the new you by falling in love with a new Lord. Daddy God, we've delivered your word today. And I decree that your word is being mixed with faith in all who heard. Father, your word is changing and transforming us and causing us to become independent of ourselves and totally dependent upon you. You are our rock and our salvation. You are our strength, a strong tower to which we run for refuge. Father, you will never leave us. You will never forsake us. You will never let us approach a situation alone. For Father, you will go with us into that situation, and you will bring us the victory. Father, I call this people blessed. I decree that any word spoken against him, any tongue rising in judgment, any curse, incantation, or soulless prayer is broken, cursed, and cast down. I decree they are the redeemed of the Lord. They are renewed in the spirit of their mind. They are embracing your truth as never before. They are rising up as sons unto God and doing exploits in your name, rejoicing in the God of their salvation and exalting in your abundant supply. Daddy God, your blessings are upon their house. Wealth and riches are in their home because your word fails not. Father, live big in them that others may see you through them and that the kingdom may be expanded by their very existence. And the people said, amen. You are loved. Go with God.